Hi, you're listening to Talking About Organizations. This is a summary of episode 14, where we discussed Henry Mintzberg's work, Simply Managing. To find out more, get the text, and for future episodes, please go to our website at www.talkingaboutorganizations.com. My name is Miranda, coming to you from Leamington Spa in the UK. Henry Mintzberg, is a name that requires no introduction at all. One of the most well-known authors in the field of management, he has contributed to shaping the discipline for decades with his works. In particular, his early study entitled On the Nature of Managerial Work is of great importance. Here, he investigated managers' routines while they were going about their day. This work highlighted the importance of looking at the concrete activities that make up management, basically what managers do. And it has been replicated by numerous researchers since. These include also Davide Nicolini and Maya Corica from the Icon Group at Warwick. Mintzberg has also provided important contributions to debates on strategy, organizational structure, and he has also been very vocal on management or education, proposing an alternative model to the typical courses. Mintzberg lives in Montreal, where he was born, and he is affiliated to Des Hôtels Faculty of Management. We spoke with him about his recent book, Simply Managing, in episode 14. This book is actually a shortened version of the book Managing from 2009, and it gives an overview on what it actually means to be a manager by exploring the paradoxes and the challenges of this role. It addresses the same question of his classic book titled On the Nature of Managerial Work, but it is based on a different data. In his earlier book, he explored a week in the routine of five chief execs, whereas managing, and therefore simply managing, is based on a day of observation of 29 managers at all levels, distributed across private, public, and plural sector organizations. When we asked whether Mintzberg saw any changes in management since his early work, he reflected that his ability to describe has changed, but the work at the end of the day is the same. In our discussion, Mintzberg gave us an overview on the reasons that led him to write the book, discussed its content, and answered some of our questions. Our discussion started with a general exploration of the book, which takes management as a practice and delves into its daily work. It takes stock of the complex and chaotic routine of managers, not only thanks to rich examples which were observed, but also thanks to analytical models which provide a panorama on all the facets of management. The great contribution, as in the tradition of Mintzberg's works, comes from taking a holistic approach, focusing on the concrete activities and the context, something that general works on management not always do, often leading to the idea of managers as heroes. Mintzberg told us that he strives to avoid easy and general recommendations. His goal is more to give a conceptual understanding, provide an overview for new managers, and enable tenured ones to reflect on their work. He sees in his work a descriptive quality, not a prescriptive one, and reminded us that one must be suspicious of easy answers and general techniques, especially given the context-dependent nature of management, which means that there are no such things as final standards. We then reflected together on the examples from his book of two managers in the same city, a manager in Doctors Without Borders and a manager of the Textile Museum in Paris. In the book, Mintzberg traces an interesting comparison, showing the specificity of each context and using it as a way to show the broad range of types of management out there. We commented that acknowledging the importance of the context seems to denote an ecological type of thinking, which is not very present in most scholarship on management, which tends to portray managers as these heroes that make everything happen. Mintzberg then agreed that we need to look at the organization when we try to understand management, and as his analysis in the book suggests, the type of organization seems to be indicative of different management activities even more than factors such as sector or national culture. Following that idea, we asked Mintzberg about the concept he uses in his book of communityship. he teased on the fact that if we have the leadership, why shouldn't there be communityship? Especially if we believe that management is so context dependent. He said that the manager is the embodiment of the community. It reinforces it, but the community also empowers the manager by giving him or her a legitimacy. One needs to think of leaders as individuals selected by followers and self-appointed. He then reflected on the importance of respecting people instead of following the idea that if you do not make your numbers, you are allowed to fire people, which is present in some circles. He commented that, in his opinion, organizations start with a sense of community, but then, when they go public, the problems start. You get influenced by people that could not care less about the product and services, and you start to manage with a view to the short term, and there the problems actually start. Perhaps not right away, but in the long term they are bound to emerge. We also commented on an interesting aspect of the book, given by the exploration of the paradoxes that are implicit in the work of managers, such as the challenge of balancing involvement in activities while being removed from them at the same time. Something that we do not always see in print, as management books tend to have a more ideal or romantic view of management. Mintzberg's work, however, seems to avoid such a sanitized view of management and really acknowledges the chaotic nature of the practice. Similarly, we also noted that the book explores the theme of assessing managers. Managers do not occur naturally, they are selected, and we ought to pay more attention to who gets appointed to that position, as Mintzberg reminded us. We then commented on the problem of the criteria for selection of managers. A person or a quality, and who to ask? Mintzberg then, in a jocose way, reminded us that thus far there are many lists of qualities that a manager should have, which he includes in his book, but no definite empirical evidence for any of them. Besides the general observation that managers tend to be tall, he also highlighted the importance of listening to workers which are supervised by a manager. After all, ideally, we want managers to be able to handle people. We also commented with Mintzberg that the book does not shy away from negative examples, which again is rare in a management book. We found that a powerful impact of that is that it makes people reflect not only along the lines of, I want to be like that, but also, I do not want to be like him or her. Continuing the discussion, we reflected on the important role of the book and of all the work in general in dispelling some folklore about management depicting managers as heroes. Mintzberg agreed that, shockingly, we cannot get past the notion that someone will save us at the end. The assumption is that if all goes well, it is the manager. If it goes bad, it is also the same person. Yet some managers succeed despite bad conditions and vice versa. More so, the consequences of the work of a manager do not appear right away. So the managers get the bonus, but then the real problems emerge. Mintzberg then gave an interesting example on how overwhelming is the evidence against these ideas. He told us the story of the Harvard 19. Some researchers followed the executives graduated from Harvard, those who were considered superstars, throughout their career for 13 years. Most of them ended up as total failures, got fired or drove the organization to a horrible place. Only 5 out of the 19 were okay. We then reflected on the challenge of attributing all of the impact to only one person. Mintzberg responded that causation is certainly not a simple matter, but at least we should try to go beyond the simple-minded idea that the organization is the chief exec. Full stop. He then commented that this inclination is particularly salient in the US, where they attribute everything to the managers. One just needs to look at the case studies which have been written and the general state of management education. This led us then to talk about management education, another important aspect of the book. Mintzberg commented that he supports a different mode of management teaching, which is quite different from the typical MBA. As he said, nobody becomes a manager by sitting a class. This led him to create the International Masters in Practicing Management, which has a different structure. The idea is to enable managers to learn from each other, reflect together, much like in Mintzberg's work, where there is no say on what managers ought to do, but the goal is to put a mirror in front of the practitioner. This reflects Mintzberg's view as displayed in the book and upon which he elaborated in the conversation about management as art, science, and craft, which also adds up to his idea of management as practice. We commented that much emphasis seems to view management narrowly only as a science, with all the analytical techniques that MBA programs teach. Conversely, the program he co-founded in Montreal focuses not only on the science aspect, but also on the craft of management, which comes from practical learning. So in this way, they make people share and reflect among themselves. And that is all for Henry Mintzberg's work, Simply Managing. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed this summary and found it to be of value. Please do get in touch with us via our website or any of the social media accounts and let us know what you thought of this summary and the podcast in general. We are always very keen to hear from our lovely listeners. Also, please share the podcast with your friends, colleagues, and students to get people talking about organizations. Thank you.